You're listening to the new Megadeth album, Endgame, on Black Knight Meditations here on WSCA 106.1 FM. Endgame has been a pretty popular record here at the station. We've been spinning it quite a bit. It's been the number one record for the past 2 weeks for all the loud rock music you've been hearing on WSCA. Our DJs are loving it. I'm loving it. And that's a good thing because I've been a Megadeth fan since 1988. And this is one of those records where as soon as I heard it, I thought, thank you. Yes. Don't have anything to worry about. I'm going to love this record. And that's just on by the time I get to the cut number two. I was absolutely loving this record. And I still do. And in fact, I think this is probably my favorite Megadeth album since Rust in Peace. Now, I know I'm not the only one to have said that, but I think there's a reason why I'm not the only one that said that, because it's such a damn great record. And I've got Dave Mustaine on the line, Mr. Megadeth himself. Hey, Dave, thanks for joining us on Black Knight Meditations. Certainly appreciate it.
You got it.
And as I was telling you, I am a Megadeth fan. I've been listening since the So Far So Good, So What album came out. And you've been getting a lot of amazingly awesome press on this record. And I think it's a great thing because I think it's well-deserved. I mean, I haven't felt this way about a Megadeth album since Rust. And, you know, you've been doing a lot of press to support this record. And I'm having a hard time understanding how a guy like you can do so many damn interviews, whether radio or print or television or whatever. Is there such a thing as a press grind that sets in for you when you do so many of these things on a regular basis?
Is there such a thing as what?
As a press grind where you just feel like, oh, God, yet another interview, you know.
No, there's no such thing as that.
No, not for you. Oh, okay. Well, then that's a good thing.
Everything's been asked before. There's no original question. The only time anything's ever fresh is when you have a new record coming out, and then it always results back to the same old stuff. So how's the record? How's the tour? You know, so what about the feud? And, you know, it's just after a while, you get to where you can almost carry on two conversations. You know, you can talk to somebody and you wait for the interviewer to take a breath, and then you know it's time to start talking.
Oh, well, you know,
that sucks if you have that kind of attitude, and I certainly don't have that kind of attitude. I love being in Megadeth. I love having a job that I can have this kind of fun. The greatest thing for me right now is that it's really weird. Like, the worm is turned, kind of, where I used to be one of the most easiest guys to hate in heavy metal, and now I'm not anymore, and I'm grateful that I lived through it, but, man, you know, it's just really weird, just this time right now, because it seems unorthodox to me to have everything going right.
Really? Unorthodox for everything to go right? Well, you know, hey, better late than ever, I guess, things are going right, better late than ever. Hey, how much of a role do you play in how your releases are promoted? I mean, I imagine you don't leave everything up to the labels, but how hands-on are you in promoting your albums, other than just doing the press like you're doing now?
Well, they're very active with the band right now. You know, with all groups, there's a trial period where the label's going to want to be careful and check out, you know, their talent that they've hired and you know, talk about the investment that they've made. And it is a business. That's the saddest thing about it, because you want to be close with the people that are from your label. But, you know, if you can get your head around the fact that they look at you as product and not really anything more, it's a lot easier for you at the end of the day to do your job, because, you know, you want to have relationships with people in this job, but you got to remember, you know, who you can actually trust, and that's not a lot of people.
Right.
People you trust are your friends and your family, and in the business, you know, you can make a lot of friends, but you just got to be careful.
I hear you. Megadeth has some live shows coming up, and I imagine at this point you've pretty much got a few set lists in mind that you're going to be playing. What songs from Endgame have been added to the set list?
For Endgame, now, the ones that we've talked about adding to the show has been Head Crusher. We've already played that. Mm-hmm. 1320, which was one of the singles that came out after that. The NHRA heard that song and really got excited about it. And they right now, and ESPN also want to do something with us with that song, so we added that one into the set, and then 44 Minutes is probably going to be our next single.
Good
and,
choice. Yeah.
We're really excited about that track for a lot of reasons. You know, it's a song that, you know, is about bank robbery that happened in North Hollywood, but, you know, it also has a lot to do with just, you know, standing up for what's right and you know, being a hero at the end of the day. Because I talked to the guy that was the guy that took down the last bad guy in that bank robbery. I had him on the phone, and I said, what was going through your mind, you know? Because, I mean, the guy has been walking for 44 minutes with a with an automatic machine gun with armor-piercing bullets in it with these rounds on there that are these drums full of bullets, and, you know, we're going to start talking about making a video for that. And I immediately saw the kind of excitement when we did this Symphony of Destruction video because, you know, with the content of the song, it has to represent the song.
When I first heard the record, I was going through it, and I heard 44 minutes, and I immediately told the hard rock guy here at the station, who plays some of your more radio-friendly type music, I told him, this is the song that you're going to latch on to. I think this is the one that's got an accessible feel to it, and he dug the song, I dug the song, and I'm thinking, this has got to be a single. Speaking of singles, you... Megadeth had a kind of fan vote online recently where the fans could decide or elect a song that they felt should be the next single. Do you have the results of that?
It was 44 minutes.
It was 44 minutes, okay.
Yep. But here's the cool thing. You know, I mean, very often you think that you're on to the right track, and we felt like we had a really good start with Head Crusher. Head Crusher is the number one track at AOL Top 40, and it's doing excellent with all of the other polls that it's been on. And as far as the record's concerned, we're really excited at how we started out of the box. So we feel like we're able to make up some lost ground that the relationship was really damaged between me and the label. And, you know, it's hard when you have something like that to just kind of pretend that, you know, things never happened, you know. And for once, it wasn't me that started it. You know what I mean?
I hear you.
So I'm a little cautious still, you know, once bitten, twice shy kind of thing. But we're feeling really cool about the whole thing that's happening. And you know, the record label, they said, we want to put 44 minutes out as the next single. You know, I mean, the irony, our webmaster is a Canadian dude, and I was talking to him, and I said, yeah, good news. He goes, oh, yeah, what's that, eh? I said, well, they're going to go with a phase two. He goes, what does that mean? And I said, well, I guess they're going to try and put out a second single. And he goes, well, shouldn't there be like a phase three and a phase four and a phase five, too? And I said, you think?
Yeah,
good you know, idea. I mean, with a band like Megadeth on a label like Roadrunner, who's supposed to be a metal label, with bands like Nickelback and Slipknot with that kind of reach with our history, you know, I mean, the thought of a label pulling up tent on us in the middle of a campaign is just unheard of. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can really build our relationship back with these guys. And if not, you know, that we'll make the best of it while we can, because, you know, I don't want to have my career end on a sour note. I've got best record I've ever recorded is out in the streets right now, and it's just time to go out and tour.
Well, you mentioned,
and leave all the other hard work up to the people that are back here that are going to be working while I'm out doing metal calisthenics every night.
you mentioned like a phase three and a phase four. I think there is room for another single even after 44 minutes. I mean, a song that jumped out to me that I think could easily find a home at radio is How the Story Ends. And I think there should be a phase three. This is, and I totally agree with you, this is a record that just shouldn't be just dropped. I think you got a lot of life in this one. And I have not been able to say that. I've not been able to feel that way as a fan for all of your records, but this one I do.
Well, that's okay that you feel like that too, because there was a period that, you know, we were going through some stuff, and unfortunately, you know, when you're a band leader, you've got to sometimes make decisions that, you know, the fans don't see. So they don't really know what's going on, you know, and I doubt very seriously if you knew what was going on and I told you everything that you wouldn't have done the same thing. You probably would have. You know, I chose domestic tranquility over being selfish, and the problem is that when we ended up leaving the studio, I went back and I told Marty, I said, Marty, we can't do this anymore. We had got to go back to our roots, and he quit.
Well,
so I'm pretty confident that right now where we're at is exactly where we're supposed to be. We've got guys that want to play music, and they love to play.
It shows. I've seen the band live with I think four different lineups now. And the last time I saw you, obviously Chris was already in the band and sounded great to me. I was very impressed with his live soloing, and I'm impressed with the soloing on the record too. And that's something I think is very important for Megadeth sound. It may not be like the biggest part of your sound, but I think it's, for me, it's very important to hear those solos, not just played well, but played like there's like there's passion behind it, as opposed
there
to just
a lot of passion. You know? It's more so on this record than on the last one, because the last one there was a lot of pressure going in there. You know, I had written the record, and I there's a process that I go through when I do my records, because you know, I'll start the song and we'll start working on it, and it continues to grow over time. I don't go in there with a set song set in stone and leave it like it is. And when we turned in the beginning song ideas last time, the A&R guy that was there, I'd never used an A&R guy before in my life. Yeah. And this guy listens to the tape and he writes back and he goes, "Eh, you got some good songs there, but nothing great." And I wanted to kill him.
Oh, yeah. I totally disagree with that. Good songs, but not great. Oh my God, that sounds ridiculous. I wonder what he
was
hearing.
The good thing is that the guy, he evidently had some kind of mental thing going on with him. And he got all this medication, right? And he's a good dude. He's not with the label any longer.
Right.
But we've become friends. And I guess it was kind of, you know, not that I think that people should do this in order to be friends with me, but I think that I kind of respected him because, you know, even though he was operating at a deficit because of this thing going on with him, you know, he spoke the truth, and while the songs were good, I think that by me taking a little bit of time and not having the same kind of mentality I had when I was over with Sanctuary, which was pretty much, I hate you guys, I want to quit. you know, once we left that place, it was really easy for me to be able to want to play again, because there was just a different mentality over at Roadrunner. They just felt young and vibrant and alive, and made me feel like we could get over, you know, some of the hurdles that we have. And right now, you know what? We're getting over those hurdles. So I'm a happy guy right now. They've got a couple people at the label that have been doing really great by us, and I'm happy for that, because we haven't experienced that feeling for a long time, since we were back in the formidable days of Capitol when we first got signed there, back around Peace Sells Who's Buying.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a musician, and I can't speak as a musician, but in any line of work, I feel that if you're not happy, it's not worth it. You know, it's just not worth it. I'd rather be happy and somewhat destitute than be unhappy, you know, and like, what's the point of doing this? You know, you got to be able to wake up in the morning and, you know, like what you see and have a smile on your face, even if it's just a smirk, you know. That's how I feel. So I can totally understand, you know, you coming from the realm of I'm happy now. And, you know, maybe it's just me. Maybe that's why the record sounds better than the last few records that you've done. Would you think that's possible?
Anything's possible.
That because you're a happier guy, you're in a better place with the band than you were a few years ago, that's why the record came out the way it did, as good as any other record you've done?
Well, like I said, anything's possible. You know, a lot of it is just a state of mind. And like I said, I've got a great job. I think there was a period of time where we all kind of go through this. You know, I'm almost 50 now, and I never thought I would live this long. Honestly, I thought I would have OD'd by now. And not that I'm a drug user, but at the time I was. And you know, it's so he sniffs. I've got a cold, not a drug. Anyway, so you know. God, I imagine anything is possible to do over again. You know, I one of the things that if I could do a redo on anything, more importantly than redoing anything from the past or the present musically, I would want to say goodbye to Gar.
Mm. Yeah, I was shocked when he passed a few years back. Pretty shocking to me. I was shocked when I found out that he had passed. It came as a big surprise
to me. Yeah, you know,
my
former sound man just died this morning, too.
Ugh.
This guy, his name was Gunji Patterson. He was known as the 3-meter man because he was 7'11", I think he was.
Wow. Oh,
something
God.
Like that. And he was so tall, you could see him from the stage out in the audience because he just dwarfed everybody.
Yeah,
and he got cancer
totally
smoking cigars.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason why I'm so mad at my son when he smoke cigars.
Wow.
But, you know, he has to learn his own lessons. But, you know, Gunji got throat cancer and died.
I'm sorry to hear that, man. That's really
tough.
Yeah, awful. And I've had
a reminder.
I've had relatives who've died from cancer. Huh? I've had friends and relatives who've died from cancer because of smoking. So it's a tough thing to deal with.
It's sad that this has to happen. So that's part of the reason why I love what I'm doing, because I can bring some happiness to people's lives. And even though it's very shallow what I do, you know, I'm not a EMT or a law enforcement officer or a firefighter. I'm certainly not a soldier. I'm not one of these guys that's willing to lay their life down on the line for people they don't know. Although, you know, I'm the kind of guy that if I saw something going on the street that looked like it was injustice to me, I would want to stop and do something about it. My son and I were driving the other day. He was driving my Mercedes, and we saw this guy on the side of the road, and he was aghast. He's trying to push his car, and I said, "Do a U-turn, JD." He goes, "Why?" And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? Why? Have we as society become that much pieces of crap that we see a guy in the middle of a street, and it's not just normal to just turn around? So I said, "Hey, Justice, no, let's go help him because he's out of gas." You know? So he goes, "Okay." So we turn around, and I said, "Pull right up behind him and put your blinkers on. That way no one will hit us." And then so I get out of the passenger side, and he's sitting in the car. I'm pushing this guy in flip-flops, and I said, "Justice, come on." He gets out of the car, and he runs up with me, and then there's a man in the car right behind us, and he wouldn't get out either. Now, we got the car off of the road, but it wouldn't go up the driveway because the driveway was really steep at this store that we were pulling into, this guy was pulling into. And the guy behind us wouldn't even get out of his car, and I just thought, you know what, shame on you.
Yeah, it seems like the culture has become more fear as opposed to, like, you know, your next-door neighbor where you want to help somebody out. It's more a case of, you know, you want to avoid them at all costs. Yeah.
Well, for me, you know, what is metal? You know, what is rock and roll? Rebellion, right? It's doing something that everybody else doesn't do. Okay, well, everybody has tattoos now. Everybody. I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. Sometimes I feel like I'm the only one in metal.
Huh?
Sometimes I feel like I'm the only guy in metal that, you know, doesn't look the part, doesn't have the tattoos. You know, I'd walk down the street, you'd never know I'm into the kind of music that I am. And
and you know, I think that's one of the things for me that is kind of a sleeper factor, because outside of the day glow abortion red hair, I have, you know, if you didn't see, you know, what I look like, I would sound fairly intelligent, minus the F word every sentence, but. You know, for me, it's like I look at some of the guys that are in our work. You know, whether it's radio, now that I'm a disc jockey too. You didn't know that, did you?
Oh, I did know that. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I got my own radio show on Clear Channel.
Yeah, I remember
Death Radio. It's coming out next month, and it's going to be for 3 years.
Yeah, and I remember reading about when you were trying to put it together, and you were soliciting fan feedback, and I remember thinking, that's not going to be as good as my show, though.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't go public with anything unless it's real. That's why when people say, you know, if it's not said here at the Megadeth website, you know, we're not going to. Sure, it can be said someplace else first. You know, I don't care about whether it's said first here or not. You know, you can always know for sure if it shows up at my website, it's real.
Right. Hey, I want to get to a couple of listener-submitted questions from your fans. One guy wants to know, he knows you're probably aware of the 80s-style thrash resurgence in metal in the last few years, with a lot of newer bands playing the old-style, bands like Havoc and Hatchet.
I can't hear you very good, brother.
Oh, okay, sorry, man. There's been a thrash resurgence over the last few years in metal, and a listener wants to know if you have heard any of these newer thrash bands, like a Havoc or Gamma Bomb or a Bonded by Blood, if you've heard any of these bands, if you've liked any of them, did any of them remind you of your old music?
Well, it's funny you say that. I just went up to go meet with my publisher, BMI, and one of the guys there works with Black Tide, so... I'd have to say that's the last thing that I heard that was from the new wave of American metal that's coming out now. You know, it's really cool to watch this because, you know, if people didn't know any better, I could just sit in the sidelines and keep my mouth shut and just watch all this and be content just knowing that I was part of it. You know, not having someone come up and say, "Hey, you were a part of that." No, that's not it. It's just being able to sit there and watch, know that something beautiful happened. I listen to these guys play guitar now, and they say I'm an influence to them, and I listen to them play, and I'm like, bud, you're way better than I am. You know, and I'm saying that from a place of complete humility. You know, I know that I'm top of the charts right now as a guitar player, but that's now, and it's totally God doing it. It wasn't me. You know?
How much of a role do you play in the bands that open for Megadeth on tour? I mean, I'm sure it's a business decision to be made, but obviously, I'm sure that you would have to, so I guess, like the bands yourself. How much of a role do you play in picking those bands?
Well, we pick the talent, obviously, but as far as like me having a role in their business, I think it would be pretty outrageous for me to try and tell anybody what to do.
No, I mean in your role in choosing the bands to bring out on tour opening for Megadeth.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. We pick the bands, but you know, sometimes when you get out on the road too, you tend to kind of take a shine to a band, you know, and it's so hard when you find somebody that you like, when you see them doing stuff wrong, not to say something, but you just know you can't, you know, because if you say something, as soon as you say something, they start thinking, who the fuck do you think he is? Oops, sorry.
Hey, if Dave Mustaine told me I was making a mistake, I'd listen. But
is
I guess not.
Internet?
I guess not everybody does that.
Is this an internet interview or is this on the air?
This is on the air. Definitely.
You're taping right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I just said the F word.
it's okay.
Sorry about that,
it's okay. You know what? When we get the fine in the mail, I'll be sure to send it to you. No, so it's okay. I'm sure you can afford it more than I can.
Okay, well then, let's let it rip.
Yeah, I'm just throwing a few of your songs. No, I won't do that.
You know what? The funny thing is that, I have done so good over my career with Indecency when I'm on the air. You know, or with any of the content matter of my songs. We were one of the first people ever to sticker their own album. When the PMRC came out, you know, things were totally different back then. And it had its merits. What it was trying to accomplish was, you know, it was noteworthy. They just went about it the wrong way. I think if they would have gone to the heavy metal leaders at the time and would have said, hey, guys, listen, you know, do you really think that what you're singing about is really going to enrich these children's lives. If you don't, and you agree with us that it may be a little age appropriate, what would you suggest as the professionals who make this music? How would you indicate to fans when the time's right for you to be able to hear their stuff? And you know what? I know that these people would have worked towards a solution because we are some of the most loving and loyal and dedicated people in the world. The craziest thing, I can go someplace and see a guy that's got a black T-shirt on with a band's name on it and know that I can just go, hey, man, how you doing? And I put a smile on his face no matter what.
Yes.
Just by saying hello.
Absolutely.
And that's the greatest feeling.
That is true. I mean, that's probably the first thing I'd do if you came up to me and said, hey, man, how's it going? I'd be like, hi. Yeah, how's it going? Yeah, I'd definitely put a smile on my face for sure.
And that's what it's about. You know, my whole job was not to be rich. I'm not rich by any means. The market has really hurt my family just like everybody else's. You know, and I started off with meager beginnings. My mom was a maid. You know, I grew up with a single-parent family because my mom and dad got divorced when I was 4. So I know what it's like to have hardship. And you know what? I'm absolutely comfortable whether I'm, you know, eating a steak or macaroni and cheese. It doesn't matter to me as long as I got my family and my friends. And you know, that's all that really matters.
Well, you know, you can be rich in many different ways. You can be rich in many different ways. It doesn't have to be monetary.
Yeah,
so.
Wealth is, yeah.
Yeah. Of I want to get to another listener submit email. He wants to know if you have any personal problem with him wearing his Megadeth shirt while he is wearing his inverted cross necklace. He wants to know if you have a personal problem with that based on your religious views. He wears an inverted cross necklace. But he also wears a Megadeth shirt, and he wants to know if you have a personal problem with that because of your religious beliefs.
Don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Why would I have a if his interpretation of the cross upside down means something that is satanic in nature, and he thinks that there's going to be a conflict because his upside down cross and what it stands for is going to be touching my shirt. I all I can say is that, you know what, I practice black magic, I practice witchcraft, I was into Satanism, and God is way more powerful than the devil is. And, you know, he can do whatever he wants, he can, you know, I mean, if he wants to go that way, the cross is on the outside, he's got his nipples on my shirt, too.
I'll have to email him about that, yeah. The nipples,
you know,
I like that response.
Whatever is the best thing for him, and that is the right thing for me, is obviously what I would choose. Mm. You know, and I know that it's just a piece of jewelry.
Right.
It has no power over me. I don't care.
I don't either. That's how I would respond to him. Hey, man, do what you want. I know I got to let you go, Dave. I want to get to one last question. How vast is the Megadeth vault? I know the box set came out a couple of years ago, but...
Oh, it's almost empty.
It is. There's no treasure trove of unreleased audio and video?
Know, there's some songs in there still, and there's tons of riffs, but it's almost empty. From where it started in the very beginning to where it grew to where it's at now, we've raided the barn one too many times, I think, and there hasn't been enough writing lately. But, you know, we're going to be on a really, really, really long tour, and I'm sure there's going to be tons of writing going on, because when I'm happy, I write.
Hmm. You know, are you going to be touring throughout 2010?
Into 11.
Into 11, wow. Awesome. So, yeah, Roadrunner does need to release a single number 3 and single number 4 for sure.
Well, regardless who's phasing what, we're going to head on strong.
I plan to be there in any show I can, man. I've seen the band live, I think, 7 times over the years now, and I have fun every single show. And it's
have
such
you seen Chris yet?
Yes, I did see Chris.
He's a monster.
Live, I was very impressed, very, very impressed. He was nailing the solos.
He can look at the audience and play Marty Friedman's guitar solos, no problem. You know, he'll look down his neck, and he'll look up at the audience, and he'll keep looking at the audience, and he'll keep playing and won't make a mistake. Now, Marty used to do that. You know, he'd look at the guitar, and then he'd look at the audience, but he could do that at the same time because he was cross-eyed.
Oh.
So, you know, he's cheating a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Marty was a force to be reckoned with, but damn, Chris is too. He's just awesome. He's a monster on this Endgame record.
Kind of like a tempest in a teacup compared to Chris, though.
Yeah. It's an interesting way of putting a tempest in a teacup. I got to use that sometime.
You just need to get to know Chris a little bit more and see what he's really capable of. You know, I had to pull him back on this record because we only had so many songs that we could do. You know, those boys were ready to keep recording. It's like, we got enough. We've got to stop.
Wow. Well, hey, don't wait a couple more years to put out another record. I'd love to hear another Megadeth record. Whether or not that happens, I don't know. But, hey, the fans, I'm sure, have no problem with getting another Megadeth record out of you.
I think that the band would agree to it. I agree to it in principle. It's just a matter of whether or not my body will hold out. You know, I'm taking really good care of myself. I'm back in fighting shape and fighting weight, and I'm ready to go, you know.
All right.
It's just, you know, I've got arthritis in my neck from all those years headbanging, and I've just got to take care of it. You know, I'm praying that I'll get healed, and I'm trying to do everything as best I can, but, you know, it's out of my hands now. I'm doing everything I can, and if I get healed or not, that's up to God. And I have faith that this is going to be one of the best tours of my life, and I think it's already proven that way. When we found out about we're still number one at Amazon for the top-selling record, and it's been that way for... I think they said 2 weeks now since it came out, and it's just so good right now. Everything is so good.
Yeah, it's been number one at our station for 2 weeks as well.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Our pleasure for sure. And this is a reminder to everyone that Endgame is out now, and you've heard it on WSEA 106.1 for several weeks now. It's been a number one charted album for 2 weeks. Hey, Dave, thanks a lot for being on Black Knight Meditations tonight. I really appreciate it. Take care. Have fun in your upcoming tour, and we hope to see you in New England soon.
You will. I promise.
All right. Take care, brother.
Take care, bud.